episode 2,464 of the number one podcast for John Burke. This is only the John Burke Device Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Martin, and welcome. I've got a great interview with Catherine Troutman, who's got a great book out about federal resume writing. It's called The Federal Resume Guidebook. It's in its seventh edition at this point. And it's a roadmap for writing a resume for a job with the U.S. federal government, because they will not accept a traditional resume. And you can insist to your heart's content, but that's not what they want to see. And Catherine explains the mechanics of how to write such a resume. Hope you find it helpful. Hope you give this show a great review wherever you listen or watch it. Share it. Leave a comment. Do something that lets people know No BS Job Search Advice Radio is worthwhile. And now, let's get going. So my guest today is Catherine Troutman. Catherine has helped thousands find great paying jobs with federal and state governments through her books and through her practice. Her award-winning Federal Resume Guidebook. I'm sorry if it's blurry, but the blur feature on Zoom is working very well today. Continues to be one of the top-selling resume books in America, now in its seventh edition. As of June 2022, it's had the highest sales number this year to date of any of the resume books sold in America, according to BookScan. That's amazing, isn't it? According to BookScan, with almost twice the sales of its closest competitor. Catherine, right. Welcome. Thanks for making time tonight.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So we're talking about federal resumes and federal resume versus non-federal resume. Like, what's the difference between the two?
Oh my gosh, there's so many differences. But the number one difference is the length of the resume. Private sector resumes are average two pages, one or two, mostly two. Federal resumes are on average five pages or maybe longer, because people need to add more content in writing. Because the HR people, human resources people, have to see the words on the page to check off the box. So if you're a supervisor, you need to say how many people, what kind of people. For a private sector, you might just say supervisor. But you have to give more detail for federal. So length is the biggest difference. The second biggest difference is it has to match the announcement, but that's not really different. Private sector, you have to have that apple to apple thing also.
So when you say announcement, you're talking about the job ad, the job description, something along those lines. Yeah. And it's interesting because private sector, they don't want to see everything. No. They want to get an idea that you've matched the requirements, but they work with the assumption that when they interview you, they're going to confirm all the details there. And you're saying the federal resume, state as well, want to see everything.
On paper, black and white, that's right. If you don't put it in black and white that shows that you have the 1 year or 3 years of specialized experience, you might not get best qualified. It's very important.
So let's say we're talking about a three-year person. Would you have a summary area that says 3 years of experience or three plus years of experience working with whatever it is that's in the announcement?
You can if you want, but better than that would be to just go to the work history section in the resume and show that you had job number one is 1 year of experience in this field of work at this level. Job number two is 2 years experience in this field at that level. So they really want to see the dates in the work history section that shows the 3 years. That's where they want to look.
Fascinating. Yeah. And very different than private sector. So how does the government respond if there's a gap between the two jobs where it's been 1 year and 2 years, but in the middle, there's another position in there? How do they tend to think of that?
They don't care.
They don't care.
No. They don't care.
And private sector, many firms will.
Federal, they don't care. They just want to see that specialized experience at that next level below. That's what they want to see in their eagle eye looking for it. And that's what they want to see. And if you have gaps in dates where college or kids or something, doesn't matter at all. Just skip it.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Helps women a lot.
Yeah.
Because women in the private sector were often disadvantaged by that period of time that they were taking care of kids.
That's too bad. Right.
So if someone's writing a resume, what should they prepare in advance in order to be able to write the resume?
Well, it is very good, actually, if you go to USA Jobs, that's a website where all the jobs are posted, or most of them.
USAJobs.gov?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go there. First thing, set up your profile. There's a profile thing. You have to set up, answer a bunch of questions. And there you will find a builder, a resume builder. And here's why it's important, because a federal resume, if you do not include month and year to month and year and hours per week, it's over right there. So the builder prompts you to put in the required fields. It's very helpful to do that. So go ahead over there to that builder and start building the resume, the dates, the places, education. It'll take you an hour for sure. That's the starter version of the resume right there.
So do you take an hour, or because if you take an hour, it takes other people three?
Well, they're not done in 1 hour. That's just the first hour. that's just a setup. That's like, just do that.
And I got to pause for a second because I realized, you know, they're applying through a system, and apparently the system does not really do adequate screening that it's ultimately reviewed by a human who makes the actual decision, versus in private sector, you know, the classic complaint about an applicant tracking system is it's called the black hole for a reason. And resumes go in and never come back out with interviews. And you're saying that all it's doing is accumulating data, but it's not being, shall we say, acted upon by the system.
Oh, no,
humans make those decisions.
No, it's not. If you just begin the building there, and then there's more to do, but nobody looks at it there. It's just you're building your own resume. The only way they'll look at your resume is if you actually submit for a job. You have to find a job and then more to do, then submit. Then somebody will look, some human person, not an AI.
So again, just making sure I'm hearing this right. You're saying this is just like, I'll use another equivalent, a LinkedIn profile that resides on USA.gov.
That's right.
And then once you've applied for a specific job, someone may actually look at the resume and the profile, maybe to see. Okay. They just look at the resume and they make a decision at that point. So what's the purpose of the profile if they're not going to look at it?
Well, I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you. I love
can't
honest
apply
answers.
For a job unless you do it, you know, just they just want to collect data. Now, I understand that they might start mining data out of the profile, such as resume or education or keywords or something. I don't know if they're doing that or not, but just do the profile and who knows what they do with it. But when you go to apply for a job, you're going to have to answer some more personnel questions. So there's one thing before they look at the resume. So let's say you submit. Before they look at the resume, there's another aspect of the application, and it's called the assessment questionnaire. It's a test, a skills test. And you have to skill yourself at certain skills that are important for the job. So they will ask you your skill in writing. And then you have to skill yourself A through E. E is usually the expert, but not always. So you skill, you mark your skills. There could be 15 questions. And if you check off the highest level, that means you got 100. Now, if you don't check off the highest level and you check off middle way, your score might be 70. And so then your resume would not be looked at. So that assessment questionnaire is very important in this process because you need to know that it exists and score yourself the best that you can based on your background.
Do they give you a sense of how you should look at your skills? I'll use oral communication just for lack of anything better. You know, so if someone is not an expert in communicating in English, and let's say it's an A to E scale, do they define what A, B, C, and D are?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what it is. A, I don't know anything about this. B, I have education in this, but I've never done it. C is I do this work supervised. D is I do the work independently. And E is I'm an expert, or I'm a supervisor, or I help other people with this task.
Beautiful. I'm glad they defined it, because it's so easy to cheat in theory.
Well, you know what people do more than anything is they deflate. They choose D instead of E because they see the word supervisor and expert and they say, oh, I'm not super, I'm not expert. Oh, D. Well, if they say D on 15, that means they got a 75 score and they are not good then. It's too bad.
Interesting. Yeah. So folks, what you've just heard is don't be nice.
Don't deflate.
Yeah. Don't deflate your experience or delegitimize your background. Right. The probability is you're more expert than you think you are. All those criticisms that you've heard, they're lies that you've started to believe, and just give yourself the E that you deserve, because otherwise, through the trapdoor.
Right. Well, the E level is really awesome because it says, do you help other people or do you train other people in this work? A lot of people help other people with oral communication skills. They might give them tips on how to speak or do a briefing or answer customer service calls, handle complex cases. Other people would help them with this.
When they get to the interview, and that's not the topic today, folks. It's really about the federal resume. But when they get to the interview, are they going to be asked to give examples of what they've done along those lines? Typically, I know there are always exceptions.
They might. Now, we don't know for sure, but they might have. Can you tell me about a time when you gave a briefing or customer service orientation for staff? What were you doing? How did it turn out?
Gotcha. Thank you. This is great. With education, what sort of things do they want to see in education, and how should it be presented on the resume? At the beginning? At the end? Where does the system, or where do the screeners like to see it?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, if you have a recent degree, or a new degree that you're trying to change your career, moving into that direction, education should be at the top, above work history, for sure. They like to see the courses that are in the major. The title of the courses should be written on the resume, typed out, major courses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They would also like to see any technical skills that a person has gained in college, new skills, software programs. So you need to add them and type them on the page. They might also want to see if it's a master's or PhD, the name of your thesis or your dissertation and the work that you did to write this important document, like eight sentences, the title, of course. If the person had a capstone project in their major, they want to see that, the title of the capstone and the work that they did with the capstone. So education is built out in a federal resume, recent education, recent, like 5 years or seven, something like that. Private sector resumes, it's two lines, name of your major, degree, school, city, that's it. Federal, it could be a half a page with all this information that's relevant. Because here's the thing, the managers, if you do get forwarded to the manager, they won't see your transcript. And they might want to know what courses you had in this major that are going to give you the education to do this work. Then one more thing, very important. I recommend using the builder, but there's a really big problem. Education is at the end with the builder. So what you do is you print preview the resume when you put it all in there. Print preview, copy it out, put it into a Word file, move the education to the top, and you submit with a print copy and upload. So your education will stand out.
Sweet. Great tip.
Yeah.
And again, you know, for many, like I'm someone who's, I got my master's in 99. Mm-hmm. So that's more than 20 years past. Yeah. They wouldn't really care about the recent, about the courses I took,
no. Maybe.
And there was no thesis, you know, it's a master's in social work, no thesis. Right. So interesting the way that it's done on the federal level.
Yeah.
What other differences do you know of that people should be aware of in preparing their information or writing the resume for the federal resume?
Well, the vacancy announcements in USA Jobs are kind of long and complicated, and people don't know which section of the resume is of the announcement is the most important to match to their resume. That's a key. The section in the announcement called qualifications or qualifications required, that's a section that you want to really pay attention to match the resume. And that announcement will usually say your resume must include 1 year specialized experience in one, two, three, four, like four or five things that they want to see 1 year. That is what you have to match. And what I do to match for my clients when I'm coaching is I'll take two or three words out of each sentence in that section, and I feature those words in the resume. And my resume format, I call the outline format, because I make an outline out of those words. And that becomes the basis of my duties section for the resume. It's just like a mirror of the announcement. So the HR person who wrote the announcement will see their words in the resume, not a full paragraph, not a whole sentence, because you know, you don't want to do plagiarizing, whatever, but three words. Okay, three words. So you might see project management, teamwork, problem solving, and maybe customer services. Those would be the four skills. Those words in my format would be all caps, and there would be a little paragraph for each.
And in private sector, you know, I tell people always look at the qualifications section of the job description, because that's what they care about.
Right.
And, you know, if you have the experience, you make sure it's within the resume, and thus you're tailoring the resume.
Right.
But the thing about capitalize is interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the HR people are looking at the resumes on a computer screen at about 6 by 6 inches or something. And they need to see those words. They need to see the dates so they can see the 1 year or whatever the years they want, and then see those words at that level. And that will help you to get best qualified, and it will help you to get referred to a manager. So you want to make the resume very readable because of the computer eyes, human person sitting in a chair like me right now.
Interesting. So I'm going to use the project manager example. Let's say they've worked for this organization for 4 years. Maybe project manager was one of the 4 years. Would you put project manager all caps, and then in parenthesis next to it, 1 year, to be clear? Or would you just let it slide that the 4 years might cover you there?
Oh, yeah.
And cool.
Yeah. Just put the dates up there on the right, month and year, 40 hours a week. You got to say 40 hours a week. You have to have your hours per week. That's another big, you know, no. But the builder will prompt you to put that in. It's mandatory. So then you put your four paragraphs. And then you need to have a section called key accomplishments. And that's when I want to know, okay, you say you have project management experience, prove it. Tell me two projects that you managed. I need the name of the project, the scope of the work, your role, actions you took, and results. Maybe 8 sentences or 7 sentences describing a specific project, what you did, and the results, the customer. I mean, I want specifics.
Gotcha. And it sounds like the way you stated that, what Catherine sounded like she was saying to me is like, follow the STAR format and just put it into the resume. Don't wait for them to invite you in, because you're never going to be invited in.
Yeah, that's right. And the government, we use a CCAR format, which is same as STAR. CCAR stands for the context, the challenge, the action, and the results. It's the same as STAR, though.
Yeah. What else should people be ready for when putting their resume together? And by the way, for those of you who are going to be listening to this as a podcast, she has a sample resume up on the wall behind her. And for those who are on video, there's a resume there. And doesn't look radically different.
But that's a student resume there. That's a student resume. And all that information you see right there is college.
Gotcha.
The whole thing is college, right?
Gotcha. So back to you. So what else should people be doing with their federal resume to get results?
Well, it's really good if they, at the very top of the resume, if you have technical skills that you need to do for your work, like you do in your job, your audiovisual podcast work, put a skill section at the top of the resume. Because a lot of people blend their skills into the text in the work history and education and everywhere. Don't do that anymore. Now you've got to have a separate section called skills, or technical skills, computer skills, software skills, and have it as a separate section. If you have certifications that are important for your work, like OSHA or, you know, even a driver's license or whatever your certifications are, put that at the top also, because they're going to want to see those. Very, very important. And then start building the work history section, which is the meat and potatoes of the resume, and go back in detail 10 years. And then after 10 years, shorten it. They don't need to see a long detail of a job that you held 15 years ago. They might want to see, you know, four lines, but not half a page. That's where people get writing too much.
Yeah, I heard you say earlier, emphasize the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And the further back you go, because there are some of us who are not people with 10 years of experience anymore. We have significantly more. The stuff that you did when George W. Bush was president is less relevant for you getting interviews than anything else.
Yeah.
Cool. What else?
Let's see. Well, the accomplishments, we'll go back to that, to the STAR and CCAR format. Most of the resumes that I see as a federal career coach come to me with no accomplishments at all. Nothing. It's all duties. It's all position description stuff. Then sometimes when I look at the resume closely, I see an accomplishment in the middle of a paragraph or in the middle of a bullet. It's not visible. You must feature your accomplishments if you want to get referred to a manager, if you want to get an interview. Accomplishments are critical to get further up the line. So how do you think
someone should feature accomplishments? Is it as simple as bolding them in the body?
No. You type the words key accomplishments in all caps, colon, and then you write 1, 2, 3 with bullets, and those little accomplishments are 5 sentences. They're not a one-liner. No one-liners, not in the government.
Beautiful. And that's per company. You put the per, is that the preferred? Or do you tend to do it for the overall resume, key accomplishments?
No. Per company, keep it in the work history. Keep it anchored to the dates where it was done. Anchored to the dates. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing you say repeatedly, and I'm testing it just to make sure I'm understanding it, is that the government wants meticulous detail of what you did, how you went about doing it, the dates involved, the number of hours per week that you work.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference in value to someone who's working 10 hours a week versus 40 to 60 hours a week doing that kind of work. And they just want to know. They don't want to do a lot of work digging it out of you. They won't do it.
It's done. And here's some really good news. This is not a black hole situation. You will get emails from OPM that will tell you the
Office of Personnel Management.
Yes.
Okay.
It will tell you what's happening with your resume. Make sure you look in your spam folder, because no doubt they're going to go there. So look for the emails, and it will say, right on the email, you were found to be ineligible, maybe, because maybe you did something wrong. You did not show the 1 year specialized. Or it might say you were found to be best qualified and referred to a supervisor.
What? Miracle upon miracles. Hallelujah.
I know, it's like a party. And so if you see that word referred, that means the resume is on the desk of the manager. Wow.
Who gets resumes on desks? Come on.
They actually do that.
Really do? So,
yeah, they print them. That's why the USA Jobs, the builder resumes are not so good, because they have to print it for them. So then if you're on the desk, and we don't know how many they forward, it could be 10 or 15 or 30 or 50, or I don't know for sure, it depends on the job. So you're on the desk and the manager is going to look at all of them, I'm hoping, and they decide who to interview. They might interview 5 to 10 people, maybe 5 or 7. You want to be chosen for the interview. You really do. You want that interview. So the accomplishments and the technical skills and the way the resume is presented and easy to read is very important for you to get picked out for the interview. Very important. So my format that's in that book you just showed is really good. That one there.
And thus, what we're talking about, a 5-page resume. Student resume is probably shorter.
Yeah, 3 pages. Yeah, student. Yeah.
3 for a student? Yeah. I worked
at
a pool.
Look at that. Look at that. That's one education section right there. That's one.
Wow.
Almost. Well, there's skills up there at the top and everything. So yeah, 3 pages for a student would be probably fine.
And 5 for a more experienced person.
Yeah.
What's the maximum length you think someone with experience should consider?
Well, some people write much longer resumes than that, but these poor HR people, I think max 10, max. NASA accepts a 10-page resume. It says right in their announcements, 10 pages.
Wow. And you're noticing, folks, I'm saying wow a lot because this runs counter to everything I was ever trained in my 40 plus years of doing search related work. It's the exact opposite. Like if I'm told, for students, a 1-page resume is more than enough. Catherine's saying 3. If I'm told 2 to 2.25 is enough for a veteran person, she's saying 5. And in some cases, as many as 10. It's the exact opposite. And who would care if you work 40 hours a week in the private sector?
In federal, if you don't put down 40, nobody even looks at your resume. It's mandatory. And a lot of people make that mistake. I wish I knew how many. A lot of people don't really believe month and year, hours per week. They don't touch the builder and they're done. They're out. Silly.
So month and year. And if someone isn't sure of the month, because it's like 7 years ago, is there a way of communicating that you're not sure? Fascinating.
You figure it out. You guess, the best guess you got.
Okay, that's fine. In private sector, with a resume, I tell them next to the date to put approx, which signals I'm not sure. And you're saying, just guess.
Just guess, yeah.
And if confronted later on, like, is the government going to do a background check later?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they find something incongruent in the dates, are they going to just go?
The resume is not the security document. You have to fill something else later with dates, and you might have to research the dates a little bit deeper for security clearance. Resume is not a security clearance document.
Fabulous. Thank you. This is fabulous. What haven't we covered yet that we really should?
Well, let's see. The interview is another test, they score you 1 to 5 on your answers. They ask like 7 questions. The questions are not yes and no questions. They are open questions. Tell me about a time when you led a project and the project had a problem with it. What was the problem? How did you resolve it? And what happened? So they ask these multi-part questions that have to do with the job. So you have, if you have accomplishments in your resume, you will probably be pretty good. But if you don't have accomplishments already written down in the resume, you might not do well with the interview because it's storytelling big time. It's just storytelling.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Catherine, this is fabulous. How can people find out more about you? The book with the blurry. It's a workbook, folks. It's not a little tiny book. It's a workbook here.
140 pages. My website is resume-place.com, and you can find the book there. I highly recommend the book. I do the samples that are in the book have worked. Every sample in the book is a real person who I asked, could I put your story and your case in the book? So they're real. They are in the outline format with the all cap words like I described, and they show accomplishments under key accomplishments. It's a visual picture of what your resume should look like, federal. Very important, very.
And what's cool is she also shows you resumes that don't work.
Yeah,
so you can make comparisons.
After.
The before and after are pretty profound.
So, and right in the very beginning of the book, I have four before and afters, and it's stunning. Skinny little bullets, and then a big block of words, and then the awesome outline format right there.
Catherine, this has been fabulous. Thank you. And folks, we'll be back soon with more. I'm Jeff Altman, the Big Game Hunter. Hope you enjoyed this interview. If you didn't, you're watching on YouTube. Share it, leave a comment, do something that lets people know it was worthwhile. Also, I'm going to remind you, visit my website, thebiggamehunter.us. There's a ton on the blog that's going to help you with job search, hiring more effectively, management leadership, resolving workplace issues, career change, whole bunch of stuff there that will help you. And you can find out about my courses, which you can rent or buy, my books and guides. Again, a lot there to help you. Lastly, connect with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Have a terrific day, and most importantly, be great.